We really would love to know what your plan is to help lower the cost of living.
Yeah, first of all, thank you both for being here. And yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel. And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams and ambitions for your family and working hard and finding that the American dream is, for this generation and so many recently, far more elusive than it's been.
Holy hell,
And we need to
answer the
deal with that.
question.
And there are a number of ways. One is bringing down the cost of everyday necessities, including groceries.
Okay, she's asking you what you're gonna do to it. Jim, I'm gonna have to mute myself because this is not gonna go well today.
Steve, get your hand on that dump button.
Oh, for real. Get your hand on the dump button today, Steve. Like, who in the world talks like this, number one? Well, I'm gonna be asked a question about what I'm gonna do, and it's hard out there for a pimp, and I just it's just really difficult, big. I don't even know what to tell you people. I just it's just hard. And what kind of answer was that? She's asked this question by these people who are gullible enough. They show up to these events thinking that these Democrat candidates give at all a care about them. They show up to these events and they ask these questions, like, can we just get, it would be great to just get an answer on this. Be nice, be super nice. Can we just get an answer? No. I'm gonna give you some word salad and that's what we're gonna do today. Word salad. Did she answer a single question from this? I don't think she did.
No.
Because we were listening and I was watching. Well, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't really watch it.
Do lies count as answers? Because she did some of that. She did a lot of that.
Yeah, well, let's play some else. Play me another. Let's see if maybe she got better as it went on. Let's just see if it got better. What else do we put?
Let's cut 11. This
Okay,
one
yeah,
is
let's
kind
try
of
this. Maybe
laughable.
it's better. Maybe it gets better.
I and Tim Walz are both gun owners. We will not take anybody's guns away.
Oh, well,
We
thank
also need to have reasonable gun safety laws. I believe that we need an assault weapons ban. We need universal background checks.
you know what I feel? I feel like I'm watching like a combination of Zoolander and what's the movie? Step Brothers. Yeah, I feel like I'm watching a combination of that and Step Brothers. That's what it feels like. We're in a mood today. We're in a mood.
And then cut seven last night. This was also
Oh yeah, let me hear
funny.
this. Let me hear this one. That's right. Cut set. Yeah, let's just see if it gets us to see where it goes. Come on.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
By your security? No one believes this. You know what? She would prosecute you if you shot someone that broke into your house. I mean, she wants to go door to door and look in your house. I mean, I'm not saying that. This woman said that in the audio that we played yesterday. Welcome to the show. It's a Friday. It's technically my Thursday. I got a work day tomorrow, but a long one. But it's Friday for you all. Happy Friday to you. Dana Lash here with you, top of this first hour. And I don't know. We got a lot to get into today because there's some uncomfortable stuff to discuss as it relates to some of the Republican things. Definitely haven't had enough caffeine today. Wait a minute. I need to add some. I need to add some gin or vodka to this Black Rifle Coffee today. It's one of them days. It's one, especially considering some of the stuff we have to talk about. So, we have this. Have some issues with the GOP to hit. We've got these sound bites where she was talking to Oprah, where Kamala Harris was talking to Oprah yesterday, and can we play audio soundbite 9? So this, no, let me set it up. This is actually one of the clips I did see where she was asked, Kamala Harris was asked a question about, what are you going to do with the border? Like a dude asked her, like, what are you going to do with the border? You tell me what you think of this answer. Go on, go on.
Gets to the point about what does leadership really look like? And is it about you or is it about the people?
Right.
Is it about running on problems or fixing problems? My work and my career has always been about saying, let's fix problems. Let's address the needs because we know it's within our capacity to do that.
So to answer Justin's question, now that that bill has gone and hasn't passed, will you reintroduce that?
Absolutely. And when I am elected president of the United States, I will make sure that bill gets to
Oprah
my desk.
Oprah literally had to remind her. You were asked a question. Can you answer it? I mean, this had to have been like herding cats. And I don't feel bad, you know, for Oprah for having to deal with it. I mean, I really don't. But I mean, it had to have been like herding cats for real, like dealing with her, you know, talking about all this and not answering these questions. I'm just saying. So we got more of that because, and we got some surveys. We've got some China, Tim Walz, nuclear stuff. We got a lot of things to hit today. And then, of course, as you know, we've got the super fun Republican stuff to discuss, which let's go ahead and get right into that. All right. I wrote a piece last night. If you don't get the newsletter, you should. Because there were some big issues coming out of North Carolina last night. Now, let me set up North Carolina. And we're going to talk more about this throughout the show. But let me just set up for now. Let me just set up North Carolina for you. North Carolina is considered a battleground state. And I'm looking in. I included some of the recent polling for you in North Carolina. North Carolina is considered a battleground state, and Harris could take it. Harris could take it. I think a lot of people believe that some of these states that they, I don't know whether they think that like Georgia is automatically Republican or if they think that North Carolina is automatically Republican. It's not. It really isn't. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I think people, it's dangerous for them to assume these things. So looking in into North Carolina, it's a battleground state for a reason. You have 16 electoral votes for North Carolina. And it's a battleground. They're fighting it out. And I was looking in some of the Trump-Harris, I mean, Trump is, they're tied, basically. The RCP average only has him 0.1 ahead. Again, factoring in margin of error, which could be anywhere from like 3 to 3.5, maybe even 4 points. I mean, it's close. He and Harris have gone back and forth in surveys going all the way back. Well, actually, as soon as Harris got into the race, they've been going back and forth leading. He and Biden were incredibly close as well in North Carolina, going back to before they switched it out. So the reason that I'm saying all of this is because it's crucial to have North Carolina. It's incredibly important to have North Carolina. You need those electoral votes. And I have to say that Trump is not far enough ahead in enough of these battleground states to think that to sacrifice one state, in, you know, if something dumb happens, he doesn't have a buffer. And in fact, it's being considered as one of the three states that is going to determine the White House. In fact, it's the trio of Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. The math is if he wins those three, he's going back in the White House. Well, I was talking to a friend last night, because this is what's everything that's on the table for North Carolina. You have bad candidates, and then you have troublesome candidates. And there's a difference in the type of candidate that you can have. Bad candidates are people, I mean, you can have a bad candidate that, or weak candidates and bad candidates. Weak candidates hurt themselves, and they hurt only their own races. It's a weak candidate can't win their own race. A bad candidate can tank everybody else's race. A bad candidate can not only hurt their race, but they can hurt everybody else's race as well. And what we're looking at with this Mark Robinson thing in North Carolina right now is determining whether he's a weak candidate or a bad candidate. He was a weak candidate because he wasn't going to win his race. Whether or not he is a bad candidate is something that is going to be determined. And the reason I bring this up is from all the controversy that broke yesterday. There was controversy that he was on porn forums saying some crazy stuff, and it was his email address, and he was on Ashley Madison and all this other stuff. And I can't even repeat some of the stuff that's been said. And there's a lot of discussion on the right as to whether or not this was well known before he ended up being the nominee. And like, we'll get into all of that. But Republicans have to be smart when everything is so close and you can have a candidate who is weak, who could be bad and who could hurt and destabilize electoral votes for everyone else. That's what we're going to figure out with North Carolina in the coming weeks. And whether or not this stuff is true or not, I mean, that's for North Carolina voters to determine. But it'll affect everybody. We're going to talk more about that coming up after headlines. We also have Tim Walz's former National Guard colleague is claiming that classified nuclear material went missing the exact same time that he returned from a trip to China. The hell is with these Democrats and China and communist Chinese? Like, what in the world? So we're going to discuss some of that because that's also a big issue as well. Imagine that. A big issue. Tim Walz having some problems. This nuclear material goes missing. This is what one of his colleagues is claiming. We're going to dissect this coming up. Black Rifle Coffee makes the best coffee that is out there. It's just so good. I mean, the flavor is just unmatched. Now, right now, if you want to maybe sample some for yourself, or maybe you have a friend who loves coffee, and I actually did this. I have a friend who loves coffee, who had not tried Black Rifle Coffee before, and I sent them this Complete Mission Fuel Kit. It's a variety sampler of classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. And so you can get 4-ounce bags, and these are all my favorites. I swear I didn't pick them. They just happen to all be my favorites. The Beyond Black, the AK-47 Espresso, the Silencer Smooth, and the Just Black, which is what I had today. Every flavor is amazing, and it comes in this really cool blue box. So it's a really great gift for people who love coffee. And this one is in the ground texture, but you can get each of these in whole bean K-cups ready to drink. I mean, they've got every variety, every kind of every sort of coffee that they make. And you can save 20% with code Dana. So save some money at this veteran-owned, veteran-run business that's dedicated to the mission of supporting vets and first responder causes as well. And also on the website, you'll find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. And while you're there, consider joining the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You can choose your favorite roast or roasts, the frequency of shipment, and have it show up at your doorstep, free shipping every month so you never run out of coffee. So get and experience the outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Have you ever noticed it's only called a recession after we're already in it or past it? Economists are always in search of a recession, like Leonard Nimoy. If they find one, it's already too late. Always be prepared by putting money away and investing accordingly.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Quick Five ever. It was the best start to Quick Five ever. And it works perfectly because of this damn panda. Can we talk about China lying about its pandas? I know Juan's got the B-roll of this. So, okay, this Shanwei Zhu was telling, the video that Juan's going to show you, Shanwei Zhu in China was trying to tell the people coming into the zoo that this was a panda. Now, we all know that's a dog. But they were telling everybody that, no, it's a panda. They painted the dogs black and white to make them look like pandas. And then they tried to say, no, it's a unique breed of panda called a panda dog, which we know is a lie. And then they discovered that the pandas were actually chows that were dyed with white and black paint. And guess what? It tipped them off. They barked. Now, they're trying, the CCP stooges are trying to community note this on X. No, that's a lie. They literally tried doing this. That is an actual thing. So you guys know the Blue Zone stuff. Have you heard about all that? Like, there's like a whole thing on Netflix about the Blue Zone. Maybe I watched it. I don't know. And I'm like, I need to go to some of these Blue Zones where it's like they drink wine all day and then they're healthy and they eat seafood and they all, you know, they're all super healthy. Guess what? It was all a lie. It was all BS. The research was literally full of clerical errors and everybody committed pension fraud. I am not kidding you. So there blows up your plan B. They and the people who actually blew up the Blue Zone, who debunked it, they won a Nobel Prize, the first ever IG Nobel Award in demography at this year's 34th IG Nobel Prizes. And it revealed the fundamental flaws in the data about the world's oldest people and patterns of extreme longevity. So they literally lied about all of it and then committed pension fraud. Bunch of liars. That's all it was. I mean, isn't that sad? That's sad because a lot of people were talking about that Blue Zone stuff. Yeah, I know. Mel Gibson is scouting locations for the sequel to Passion of the Christ. And I don't want to spoil it for you. But he lives and rises after the third day. I just want to tell you. Mel Gibson, he's scouting locations in Europe for the sequel to The Passion of the Christ. He apparently was in Malta, which makes total sense, and then Puglia, which is the southern Italian region towards the eastern side. He was visiting all kinds of rural locations and meeting with Puglia's film commission. So very interesting indeed. Lauren Sanchez, who is the fiance of Jeff Bezos, came out with a kid's book, and then she got sued. This is the most Los Angeles thing I've ever heard. Sued by a yoga instructor over her kid's book, The Fly Who Flew. And the former yoga instructor apparently said she shared a book concept with her about a cat that flies to Mars, which is totally just like a fly that flies, you stupid bimbo. Shut up. I'm so done with this stupid stuff. Let's see. Jane Fonda. Oh, Hanoi Jane goes door to door for Kamala in Dearbornistan. And guess what? Veterans are still upset about it, as they should be. The 86-year-old trader was featured in a video posted by Kamala, It for Michigan, hugging people in Ann Arbor and probably, I don't know, still extolling the virtues of the Viet Cong. Who knows? And she says, I've never done this for a president, because, see, she's used to doing it for communist geopolitical enemies. And she says, we've got to get them elected. She was wearing a horrific, horrific pinstripe gray suit that didn't fit her properly, and she had too much filler. So they said that, I can make fun of Jane Fonda because nobody likes her. Nobody likes her. She's just absolutely insufferable. Is she not? Golly. Ask a Vietnam vet what they think about Jane Fonda and then pull up a chair and just sit down for a long story. It's actually incredibly entertaining. Very entertaining. We've got a lot more on the way, including the spending bill, the election, and North Carolina coming up. Stick with us. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Lieutenant Governor Robinson and your Republican nominee for governor as well, of course. Well guys, the news media is at it again. My opponent is at it again. You all have seen the half-truths and outright lies of Josh Stein on these ads over and over again. And now a story leaked by him to CNN is appearing now. Let me reassure you, the things that you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words, you know my character, and you know that I have been completely transparent in this race and before.
So this is the North Carolina governor... nominee for the Republican Party. He's the Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, who first shot to fame back in 2018 when he spoke at a town hall about gun control. And he was a great speaker and he spoke from the heart and it was not purposefully performative. You know, it was real and it resonated with a lot of people. And then he went on from there to run for lieutenant governor, an office which he won in 2020. And then this cycle, he became the nominee for governor, which he likely will not win. With or without the scandal, he's not going to win. He's not been leading in the polls since May. So, and that's according to the RCP average. Welcome back. Dana Loesch here with you at the bottom of this first hour. You can listen coast to coast, channel 347 DirecTV, also on X, the chats at Rumble. So the reason why I am getting into this is, and talking about all this stuff, is because this is a very, North Carolina, as I said, this is a very, it's a battleground state. North Carolina is a battleground state. And so that's, you know, it's troublesome because Trump, I think this is a state that Trump really does need to win. And, you know, he could really, I think it's what, Georgia, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, it's slated that he could, you know, really, really win this. If he could, you know, take it all the way to the White House if he ends up taking these three states. So playing this audio coming in from Mark Robinson, let me just, I'm trying to figure out how the best way, I'm just going to tell the people, Kane. Sure. You can see some of it if you're a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse. So he's being accused of making insane comments on porn forums between 2008 and 2012 on a pornographic website that's called Nude Africa. It includes a message board. And it was made under a username, Mini Soldier, that he apparently uses it frequently online. And they apparently traced it to his email address, which he apparently just used. I don't know. There's a lot there. It's, and I linked the story again, all on Substack. So he had said that it's kind of like a Clayton Bigsby kind of thing where he says he's a black Nazi and all this kind of stuff. That maybe, I don't know, maybe it was made in jest. I have no idea. He referred to himself as a pervert. There's a lot of stuff here. I don't want to say everything that he has said because it's, I'm just not doing that. We ain't that kind of a show, okay? And we just can't get the dump button to work that quickly. We can't. It's just not going to happen. So he's being accused of saying a lot of stuff here. It's bad. And he's talking about peeping on women in gym showers when he's a teenager. And he gets into all kinds of stuff. And he says, yeah, I'm a perv. And he talks about all kinds of stuff. So I get it that the left dislikes some of the other stuff that he has said when he's been in public office. But so they went back to 2008 for this. Now, some Republicans are torn as to whether or not Mark Robinson is a good candidate. I think it is mind-numbingly stupid to debate this now because people in North Carolina made their choice. Why Republicans have a fetish for arguing over whether or not a candidate is good or bad after that candidate clinches the nomination is beyond me. That's just one of the tricks that Republicans pull that I just don't understand. Don't understand why they do it. I'm a conservative. I'm not a Republican. So, concerning scandalous stories, I tend to not give the benefit of the doubt right away to the media regime because they're a bunch of dishonest rat bastards. And I don't initially like to listen to a political party that is only situationally averse to pornography. If I can remind you of the race in Virginia in which a candidate literally performed and live streamed sex acts with her husband and charged people for it and put it out there on the public webernets while she was running for the House of Delegates. So just, you know, they're only situationally averse to this stuff. If Mark Robinson had said the things of which he is accused and then ran knowing it was all easily found in his background, he's a reckless moron. That said, whether or not he has said what he said, or alleged to have said, I think it's still more important to secure North Carolina's electoral votes more than anything else. In fact, if Mark Robinson wanted to make Democrats okay with this, whether or not it's true or not, all he had to do is publish it in a kid's book and then put it in an elementary school library. And Democrats would have applauded it. Hell, they would have been out there protesting to make sure every person read Mark Robinson's words that he said on the Nude Africa Forum. If only Mark Robinson had had the foresight to put it in a book and put it in a kid's library. Now, that said, when it comes to demanding that candidates withdraw for bad behavior, the only litmus test that I actually enforce is the did they drive a woman into a pond test. I think that's a pretty good test to enforce, right? Like, but did they kill a woman? Because if you remember Teddy Kennedy literally drove a woman, Mary Jo Kopechne, into a pond, left her to die, and then went on to repeatedly win elected office, which he kept a seat he kept for decades, and then he was lionized upon his death. I mean, they literally called him the Lion of the Senate. So that's kind of a litmus test that I like to apply in these sorts of situations. Like, but did they drive a woman into a pond and leave her to die? Did they have a waitress sandwich with Chris Dodd? That's just made you throw up all in your mouth, but it's true. Here's the thing. Democrats are not using this scandal to finish off Robinson's chances, because Mark Robinson was not going to win this race. He did not have a shot in hell of winning this race even before this scandal. The man's like down almost 10 points. It can be true or false. He wasn't going to win. He won lieutenant governor. He wasn't going to win this race. But here's, and that's per polling. Here's the real thing. This is what's really happening, though. They're not doing this to finish off Mark Robinson. They're doing this to hurt Trump in this state because they are tied. Trump and Harris are tied in North Carolina. Trump is only up, according to the RCP average, 0.3. Now, again, consider the margin of error is about, what, average 3 points? They're tied. They're only doing this to hurt Trump, which is why the only people who can make Robinson step aside are North Carolina voters. Now, apparently, the deadline for that was midnight last night. And the story is that Republicans decided to drop this, at least per one of my reporter friends who told me on background that apparently it's because there's more stuff going to come out. I mean, apparently there's like all kinds of financial impropriety that is alleged to be coming next. I don't know. But that it apparently originated from some Republicans who thought he was a weak candidate. And they what you and if that's true, are you telling me that these moron Republicans waited until literally the deadline day of getting him to out of this race before dropping this stuff? So you tank your chances like literally on the deadline day. You people are so stupid. I hope you lose. That makes me root against you. When people are purposefully stupid, I can't help but root against them. It's just my nature. It is goofy and self-serving because the only people who can make this determination are North Carolina voters. It is goofy and self-serving for national Republicans who are looking for attention, looking for, they're thirsty to toddler stomp into this and wage a war for a losing candidate, scandal or not, at the expense of top of the ticket. What have I told you guys? I will run over y'all's grandmothers to win. I don't believe in defending losing candidates, scandal or not, especially if it comes at the expense of electoral votes. Not going to happen. You've got to strategize over this stuff. If it's winnable, then fight for it. If it's not, you got to change your strategy. We have a former president and potential next president who was shot in the head and was almost shot a second time while Democrats drag their feet on providing adequate protection. We have Democrats employing communist Chinese spies. The DNC, and we got this coming up, may have colluded with Iranian hackers against now the Republican nominee. There's a lot of things that demand greater attention than this. But that's not what Democrats want you to focus on. Again, this is all about taking those electoral votes from Trump. This isn't about Mark Robinson. And if it does come out that it was Republican induced, regardless, I think candidates have to assume responsibility for their own stupid mistakes. Usually where there's some smoke, there's fire. And the cover-up is always greater than the crime. So if he did it, he just needs to come out and own it and stop this stuff. Because it's only, my measure of hatred for a politician is how much they fight to disown themselves from an offense they actually committed. So just come out and be honest about it. You know, I mean, and some people say, well, Dana, you know, even if it was true, this stuff with Robinson was 12 years ago. Yeah. And look, you got to vet candidates. When I look at candidates and when I have people who ask if I'm supporting so-and-so, my first thought is, what are your skeletons? If I'm looking at a Democrat candidate, someone who is opposition, my first thought is, how can I exploit everything that they've ever done wrong in their life? How can I shame them out of this race? How can I make them look completely just irredeemable? That's my thought. And you have to remember, I came up in the former operative world. So I came up in politics digging up trash on people. Literally. That's how I started. And then I started writing newspaper columns. So that's how I look at stuff. Like, how can I exploit all of your grievances against you? Now, if you have a candidate who had this bad OPSEC, who was just using their email address all and had all this in their background and didn't think about it when they were running for high office, that's stupid. And they don't have the political acumen to go further. That's something else. Politicians, one of the reasons that some of these Democrats have all these offenses in their background and they get as far as they do is because they're good at hiding it. You can't, if true, and he was out there using his email address and doing all of this stuff, if you don't have the acumen to hide it any better than that, you're too damn stupid for office. At least hide your dirty laundry. Golly. But this is about, again, North Carolina's electoral votes. Yes, I do believe people need to vet candidates better. Yes, I believe that the right needs to stop trying to make messiahs out of every single new person who comes forward that might make them look more relatable or cool. Like, have a little self-respect and take a beat and vet people. Because then you end up shooting yourself in the foot later on. Think about it. How insane would it be? And I'm just posing this for the purpose of argument. I'm not claiming this, but just consider. How insane would it be if Trump missed out on the White House because Democrats exploited a candidate's alleged, maybe they're true, aggressions or offenses and cost these electoral votes? There's not enough tar and feathers. And it would come down to the people who wanted him. We got a lot more to get into. Got Days of These United States coming up. Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA wants to help you out if you're dealing with the insane IRS, the government theft agency. Because the IRS, they don't care. They don't care about your story. They just want their money. In fact, they want it so bad they had 88,000 new IRS agents hired. And they're cracking down. They're sending out all these pay-up notices. You don't have to face this alone. Tax Network USA can help you, whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, regardless if it's for personal or business. They have the tools and the experience, to handle any situation possible. And the professionals that they have this work record of getting the best resolution and most favorable outcome, regardless if you're able to pay or if you are on a fixed income. Tax Network USA can give you tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. These are skilled professionals. They've saved their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. So there's a receipts that go along with their expertise and reliability. Do not let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support. Take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana and work with a company you can trust because they will help you finally resolve those tax burdens once and for all. TNUSA.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But he, him, she, her, and they, them, and then your gender is man, woman, non-binary. Love that. Love the inclusivity. Top surgery scars are all.
It's a game where they're literally making mastectomy scars on characters of chick characters that want to be dude characters because these people are just damaged. That is so dumb. Can you just have people play the game? Who wants to sit there and do that? First off, the people who do this don't play games. I mean, you're just sitting around messing with your stupid avatar, your character. Just go play the game. I bet if they played, I mean, I bet they have like the hand-eye coordination of a dolphin. Good grief. It's insulting to dolphins. Yeah, their whole life is an avatar. That's true, Kane. That's true. Who does that? Who sits there and goes, and your character doesn't walk around like shirtless. Your characters are clothed usually, you know. I mean, so nobody knows. If you have to be affirmed by a video, I'm playing a black dude on Warhammer right now. I don't know who needs to know it, but Space Marine too. My character is a black dude. He's a badass. And that's my character. Your character does not have to affirm your life choices, okay?
Cultural appropriation sounds...
No, that's sus, who I got.
Bro.
That's who I got.
Sus, bruh.
If I, you know, because I'm not playing as a sissy is why. I'm just saying. Not everything in life has to affirm, if you're not, has to affirm your cosplay, okay? Your brand of butter doesn't need to. Your brand of cereal doesn't need to. What underwear you wear, your brand, your t-shirts, your coffee, like basic food items, the car parts at AutoZone. This stuff doesn't have to affirm who you are. And if you require that, you need mental help. You need therapy. You need to see someone daily to help you walk through life and just make it somewhat navigable. That's it. Because this is out of control. It's out of control. And also, you don't need to make characters in games purposefully ugly. It's always these ugly fat chicks who want to play, who think that characters in video games need to reflect how ugly they are in real life. And they don't. Some of the characters, like in The Witcher, are actually really pretty. And you don't have to make them look like, you know, questionably male pigs in order to play the game. Like, get over yourselves. I'm so done with this. Stop making everything suck. Stop. We have a lot more on the way. We got a second hour coming up. We're going to be talking about guns. We're going to be talking about commies. We're going to be talking about elections and polls and more. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Our friends over at Kel-Tec. It's the P15. The Kel-Tec is their, it's a striker fire pistol. It's the most concealable thing you can get. That's 9mm and double stacked. And the cool thing with a Kel-Tec's pistol is that you have two versions, metal and the polymer. The metal has the metal frame version, has the walnut grip panels. The polymer has that textured grip. Really good looking gun. I love both of them. I think they both serve great purposes. And it comes with two magazines, standard 50 round, minimal pinky extension. Then you got the other, which is 12 rounds, flush fit, double stack mag for ultimate concealability. It's great for the ultimate and concealed carry defense. You're not losing any stopping power. You got tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. Everything quality made right here in Florida, well, right here in America, in Florida. And it's the P15 from Kel-Tec. You have to check it out. It's Kel-Tec Innovation Performance. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
The FBI and other U.S. intelligence agencies said that Iranian hackers sent stolen information from the Trump campaign to individuals associated with the Biden campaign. This is before President Biden left the race. So was the president made aware of this at the time?
So what I can say is that we learned about the statement yesterday, and the president has been made aware of it now. But we learned about the statement yesterday. Look, this is something that the FBI, ODNI, and CISA have to speak to. It is, they put out their statement, so I would refer you to them specifically. But more broadly, what I can say about this is that no foreign government like Iran or Russia are actively seeking to influence in our elections. And so we have said that, we know that, and that's why we have seen...
That means they are. Yep. That's what I'm getting out of that. That means they totally are. Welcome back. Top of this second hour, Dana Lash with you. It's your Friday. It's my Thursday. Good to be with you. The FBI says that Iran sent hacked Trump info to Biden campaign staffers. They were sent emails, were sent in June and July to people associated with the campaign. Says they got to come there. I mean, the president, former president said they got to come clean. What do they know? So it sounds like Iran hacked his campaign, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Politico's reporting this. You know, they're so conservative over there at Politico, right? You guys know that. You read that. You read Politico every day because they're so conservative, right? You guys know that. You love conservative Politico. Oh, wait.
Not true.
Not true. Hmm. The Justice Department is preparing criminal charges with this. So her saying, so wait a minute, why she's not, what, she doesn't want to address reports and saying that it didn't really happen, except, well, then why is the DOJ preparing charges, Kane? Because they are.
Yeah.
And that's been reported by several different outlets. Politico began receiving emails itself from an anonymous account. It was an AOL account. And it was passing on research dossier that the campaign apparently had done on Trump and Trump's VP nominee, Vance. And they said that it was dated 5 months before Vance was selected as the running mate. And apparently the AP got some as well. And Washington Post is the one that said that the DOJ, you know, Washington Post, they're so conservative over there.
No, they're not.
The Washington Post. They're the first, they're the people who first reported that charges were being prepared in this. So wait a minute. She won't really address it and says that it's not accurate, but where is this coming from? But it seems, would they just like make up charges if it wasn't real, Kane?
Well, it is our government, so I guess that's kind of
no.
A
broad but I mean,
question.
Like with regards to hacking.
No, they
yeah,
wouldn't.
Yeah, I just feel like
that's
probably
an easily provable thing.
Yeah, seems like there's some stuff there that they got. So the Washington Post had first reported it. DOJ said that they're writing these criminal charges in connection to the incident, and the Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said on Wednesday that Iran is a key threat to U.S. election security. But is sharing gossip an oppo about election security? Because I feel like that's a little bit hyperbolic. I mean, you're just sharing gossip. What does that have to do with election security? I mean, are you hacking machines? That's election security. Sharing just gossip from a research dossier, though? Is that really? I don't know. I got questions.
Well, the Steele dossier, that had an impact, not directly, but indirectly on the election. I think
but that wasn't a foreign entity that did it. That was legit Democrats that did it.
No, Democrats definitely
promoted it. They laundered it all through the press, the press worked with them.
Yeah, they third-party hired a foreign entity to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they love them some Russia when they work with them like that. There's all receipts on this stuff. So, I don't know. I just feel like, why would you even need to hack or try to do that to Trump's campaign? I mean, everybody knows what he's been up to. All the stuff that they threw at him, they've already... Yo, Kane, go ahead. Yeah,
I have a theory.
Okay, go ahead.
It's because, you know how there were no policies on Kamala's website for a long time? As a matter of fact, there's still...
Until they copied literally Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think that they paid Iran to hack Trump's plans so that they could put them out as their own plans. But something kind of got, I think they...
would they need to do that? Because they know what he's going to do already.
Oh, yeah, they don't know the details, though.
I mean, they're dumber than I thought. Well, they're not going to publish details. They're dumber than I thought. If they're going to hire Iran to basically hack what he's already talked about publicly.
But you noticed all the plans they put out have no comprehensive details in those plans. I think that's what they may be looking for.
Yeah, most politicians don't, though. Every now and then they do. Like, I think that Trump on some of the economic stuff has gotten into specificity.
Yeah, and I think it's important now that we're, how many days out? 50, less than 50?
Yeah.
To the election? I think it's time to
jump off my roof.
Throw some details out there.
You mean just some deets. There you go. Just some deets. That's all. That's all people need. Yeah, we had listeners like, didn't we have a dossier drop around this time in 2016? Correct, Amanda. Yeah. We absolutely did. That is true. Now, speaking of, let me pull this story up. This very interesting story about Tim Walz. His former National Guard colleague said that classified nuclear manual went missing around the time that Walz returned from a trip to China. Walz's former colleague believes Walz stole the nuclear standard operating procedure manual. He was one of the only people with access to where it was stored. According to one retired soldier, Walz had just returned from another trip to China. Jeez, he's such a freak. And the manual went missing. This dude is such a freak. Who's like, I'm going to get married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. I mean, that's like above what the Adams family does, right? Like the Adams family, where they love macabre stuff. And that's even above and beyond what they would do. I mean, that's just you, because you wanted to remember your wedding date. The retired Nebraska National Guard soldier says he's willing to cooperate with the FBI. Well, well, imagine that. So and this goes after a former student of his says that he just adores the communist regime and always did. And that he was always buying copies of the Little Red Book, which was the propaganda that Mao wrote, right? Wow. That's pretty amazing. So, I mean, you don't need to know all of the, you don't need all this stuff to know that this guy's a commie. Just look at everything he did as governor. I mean, he lives like a communist. He talks like a communist. He governs like a communist. He's a communist. I mean, you don't need to know that he went to China and honeymooned in China and did all this stuff in China to know that the guy loves him some Mao. But I do think it's interesting, this story of the nuclear manual. That is very interesting. So how is that? Nobody in the press is curious about that? Nobody in the press wants to ask any kind of questions about that? Nobody? Because I just feel like that's, you know, kind of important.
I wonder how, because think about this, when you think about the Democrats that are all involved and have been caught with Chinese spies and such, how did Tim Walz get elevated to where he did a, you know, horrible job clearly in his state, and now he's elevated to the vice president of the United States for the Democrats? Those China ties raise red flags for me.
Well, because you're a smart person with more than one brain cell to rub together, Kane. That is correct. I just, godly, can you imagine if he is the vice president? I mean,
it'll be just like Biden as vice president with Obama getting all of that favor.
Speaking of president, vice president, I wanted to go back to this audio. Where's this at? It's audio soundbite 7, because you guys were pointing this out. So Oprah, who is dressed in, I don't know, orange, crimson orange. I don't know what that color is. Burnt ember. What is that color? I don't even know. Sienna. Yeah. Anyway, Sienna, thank you. Wow, Kane. That was the gayest you've ever sounded. You're like that. You're like, that's Sienna. It's burnt Sienna. Kamala Harris is talking to Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah was asking her about guns. And Kamala Harris says, audio soundbite 7, this.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Sorry. Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
Her staff will deal with it later. What do you mean you probably shouldn't have said it? I think more people need to say it. If somebody breaks in your house, they're getting shot. Right. But what does she mean her staff is going to take care of it? Although they'll deal with it later. I guess what the question's about is, so everybody's been asking what she owns. What is it that she owns?
Yeah. Cut 26 is the follow-up CNN did. Acosta, who I don't... How is he still on the air?
Yeah, I don't know. So this is one of the spokespeople for her campaign. Listen to this.
Yeah, well, look, she has made it very clear that she staunchly supports the Second Amendment. She supports strong, responsible gun ownership, and she does own a firearm. So I can't really comment more than that, except for the fact that she is somebody who does believe that if you are a responsible gun owner in this country and you want to have a gun in your home to protect your families, and if you want to have a, you know, gun to go hunting with, you are certainly able to. She just wants to make sure that we have restrictions in place to keep guns out of, you know, out of the hands of people who want to harm
us. We have all that already. That's the problem. Audio soundbite 12, though. Here's the truth of the matter. Flashback. Yeah. Listen to this.
Adding to your gun control agenda?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but I mean, listen, I don't think we lack for great ideas. As I've said many times, we've been having great ideas for decades. The problem is that Congress has not had the courage to act. And that is why, from the beginning, I have said, my agenda includes attempting to get Congress to act, but if they don't within the first 100 days of my administration, I'm
going to... She's talking about confiscation and mandatory buybacks, which is confiscation. So she's trying to rebrand herself as someone who is supportive of the Second Amendment, But she's not, nor is Tim Walz. They try to act, I mean, they're not at all. How much you want to bet if she doesn't anything, it's an AR-15? You know that's what it is.
You think she owns an AR-15?
Yep. I think she owns one of the Cali compliant ones, yeah.
I don't see that.
I absolutely do. Hillsdale College. It is an academic institution, a small Christian classical liberal arts college located in southern Michigan. And they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And they have been since their founding in 1844. Now, you don't have to go to their campus in southern Michigan to take advantage of everything that they have to offer you. In fact, Hillsdale has made it available for free. There's Free Speech Digest and Primus. Also, their exploration of historical topics like the founding of the Republic and the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and all this awesome stuff, you can go and learn about that from their visiting lecturers, authors, staff members, even their president, Larry Yarn, for free. It's all of their educational deep dives. And if you're a history buff, you're going to love this. At their Hillsdale College Podcast Network, accessible exclusively at dana4hillsdale.com. These are deep dives. Like I said, if you're a history buff, you are going to love these because they have really insightful history experts, authors, all of this that lead you through everything, even, you know, Christian apology, everything. And you can all find it on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. This is all part of Hillsdale's mission to defend liberty on the battlefield of education. So choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, only at dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Woo! So there was a lot of stuff that broke yesterday. You had the Mark Robinson stuff, and then you have Olivia Nuzzi, who is a New York Magazine writer, was placed on leave after apparently having an emotional affair with RFK Jr. And she kind of admitted to such. She said she had engaged in a personal relationship with a former subject relevant to the 2024 campaign while she was reporting on the campaign. She insists that at no time did she ever use him as a source. And a Kennedy spokesperson had said, oh, he only met her once for an interview she requested, which yielded a hit piece. But she apparently there was enough there that they placed her on leave over it, and she said she regretted not disclosing it to the publication. I don't know her that well. I don't think that she would say this without there being a lot of truth to it, honestly.
What's an emotional affair?
You can have an emotional affair with somebody.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
right,
you can.
That's for a different time then. I don't know what that is.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes, you absolutely can. It's not just physical. No, no, no. We'll talk about that. All right, air quality warning. So in Indiana, they were telling people to turn off their lights amid an air quality alert due to unhealthy ozone levels. The Indiana Department of Environmental Management declared an air quality action day in effect through Friday for the northwest, north central, and southeast portions of the state, when they said ground level ozone and fine particulate matter can build up to unhealthy levels. So they were telling people to turn off their air, conserve energy, set your air to 75 degrees or shut up, or it's summer, or turn off lights. Are you serious? Well, it's the air particulate.
They can't measure. You turn your stuff. Lights off.
They're measuring the lights going off, Kane, actually reduces the air particulate pismuth, and it reduces it and makes the air lighter, tastier. I don't know. Anyway, dock workers at key U.S. ports are threatening a strike that consumers could feel, so go ahead and order all your cheap Chinese-made stuff now. They said that they're trying to thwart the automation of their jobs, so 45... You know what? Maybe, you know, work with people. 45,000 dock workers along the U.S. East and Gulf Coast are threatening to strike on October 1st. It could shut down ports that handle about half of the nation's cargo from ships. It's the International Longshoremen's Union, which is a very cool name, by the way. That sounds like a whole class in Warhammer. Oh, what are you? I'm playing as a member of the International Longshoremen's Union. That's what I'm doing. Demanding significantly higher wages. They want a total ban on automation of cranes, gates, and container movements that are used. I don't know anything about that, so I don't know if that's helpful or hurtful. Loading or unloading of freight. All I know is that I watched a video of a woman trying to drive a forklift yesterday, and it went horribly. So that's all I know about this stuff. So anyway, I don't know. They don't want things automated, and they want it. It's going to be a strike, and yeah, so go ahead and order all your stuff now, because it's going to take a while to get here, probably. And apparently they're saying that milk is keeping, could keep your gut cancer free. And then we have like the Gibson Passion of the Christ repeated 5,000 times in here. The surprising study finds that meat and milk may prevent cancer in your gut. So, and it's from Japan. I think it's the Riken, the Center for Integrative Medical Sciences. They revealed that food antigens, particularly those found in meat and milk, could be the unsung heroes in keeping your guts free of all those diseases. Oh, imagine that. That's what we all figured. Good on the Japanese. Actual academics over here doing the hard work. We got more in store. Thomas Massey coming up. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Burn a Gun. It's a non-firearm firearm. Look, I'm going to tell you, I have no problem using lethal force at all whatsoever against the threat upon my life, person, safety, or the people I love. I literally just sleep better at night. I'm all warm and snuggly, and it gives me warm fuzzies. I don't care because that's a consequence of being a criminal. There are times when I can't carry because it's a private property and I got to go there and they don't want me to carry my gun. It's a gun-free zone because they think magical signs have magical properties that protect people. It's not true. We all know that. We've seen the statistics. This is why you need to diversify your self-defense options and consider a Burn-A-Gun. Burn-A-Gun's not a it's a non-firearm firearm. In fact, it's a way to diversify your self-defense options. The most popular model is the Byrna-SD. What it is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats like up to 50 feet away. When you compare it to stun guns, they got like one or two shots. You got five rounds with the Byrna SD. And I have four friends, three in D.C. and one, actually two in D.C., one that goes between Chicago and D.C. and one in New York. And they all got the Byrna gun because their jobs, media and law, they have to go to gun-free zones. And so they carry this. You don't have to have a background check. There's no waiting period. And they ship it right to your door. So it's a great option to have when you need to diversify your defensive options. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
But
my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Like they'll deal. I kind of feel like she owns maybe a California compliant AR-15, but she's never going to say it. That was interesting considering that didn't she go after Kyle Rittenhouse for using a firearm in defense of his own life? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Does she really think that? I'm not quite sure. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was the vice president and, of course, the Democrat nominee for president trying to walk to the middle and act like she's always been a big-time Second Amendment supporter, which we know that she hasn't. And this is why. Can you imagine this bill, H.R. 9534, going through, heaven forbid, if she wins in November? This is the bill that Representative Thomas Massey out of the beautiful state of Kentucky has proposed, a constitutional carry bill. I love saying it. I would love, it's my birthday month. I would love for that to be a reality. He's proposed it. I don't know how well it would fare in the Senate. He joins us now via Skype. And Congressman, first off, love that you're here. And I want to say that we've been praying for you and we've been sending so many good prayers to you and your family and just lifting you guys up. So, we're still praying for you all. So God love you. But I also wanted to thank you for proposing this piece of legislation. It's about time.
It is about time. By the way, Dana, my wife is a big fan of yours.
Oh, goodness. Thank you.
So this bill, I think the time has come for this bill. It's a nationwide constitutional carry bill, and it would even cover Washington, D.C. and the territories like Guam and Puerto Rico that are U.S. territories but not states. So, 29 states already now recognize that you shouldn't have to beg the government to exercise a God-given right that is guaranteed in the Constitution. And part of me was a little bit reluctant to introduce this bill because states have rights.
Yeah.
And, you want to respect those rights. But ever since 2008, which was the Heller decision, and then 2010, which was the McDonald decision, which bound the states to the Second Amendment, the states have been violating the Second Amendment, in my opinion, by requiring you to have a permit to carry a firearm. And so this would remedy that. And it, you know, it's kind of reciprocity is a good idea, and I love it. But what do you do if you're in a state that doesn't give permits and you can't get a permit and you're trying to go to another state? Just because you live in New York or California, you shouldn't have to jump through some crazy hoops to try to exercise your God-given rights.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have friends that live in California, and they have to have, when they can get a license to carry, they had a car that had all of everything that they could carry on their car. Like, they have their state registry, and I've it printed on their car. That was a terrifying thing to see. And of course, they have no reciprocity with anybody.
Well, that's the same way in Washington, D.C. You have to register the guns in Washington, D.C. that you want to carry here. And I think that's so basically go buy a cheap gun you don't care much about to carry in D.C. if yeah. you're going to have to register
it. I lost it in a boating accident. Gosh dang. Don't even hold a, right. own a boat.
In the Potomac, right, right here in the Potomac.
Right. This is you and talking with Congressman Thomas Massie, his constitutional carry bill. And I have other stuff I want to get as well with yeah. you. But this, I, you know, obviously close to my heart, this issue. And you mentioned, too, that states have their rights. I always feel, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, whenever I look at things like natural rights, whether it's, you know, your right of self-defense to be able to carry, right of speech and free exercise of religion, I always look at and think that, you know, the Supremacy Clause kind of comes into play here. I mean, these are natural rights that states should not be able to abridge.
Well, and that's what the 14th Amendment is, you know, which is a result of the Civil War. It says that you can't abridge those natural rights. And when the 14th Amendment passed, it didn't automatically make the Second Amendment bind or even the First Amendment binding on the states. Huh. But through court cases, they said, you know what? If they were protected in the Bill of Rights, then these are probably those fundamental rights we're yeah. talking about in the 14th Amendment. So even though I'm reluctant to force the federal government's powers onto the states, the 14th Amendment is the reason the states are bound to the Second Amendment now. And that's the Constitution that I support and honor and uphold.
What a great 60-second explainer. I mean, I think Congressman Massie just needs to do like new Schoolhouse Rock videos yeah. and put those out, because imagine how many more people would be better educated if he just explained it like in his the manner in which he just did then. Congressman, I know that there's the CR, the stopgap, that and the fight to include the SAVE Act, which is about protecting the integrity of the vote as well. What's going to happen on October 1st? Because we were looking at the headlines of stuff not making it in the House. What's going on?
What's going to happen on October 1st is the thing that's always happened on October 1st for all 12 years that I've been here. They're going to do a CR that goes to about a week before Christmas. Now, let me tell you why they like punting right until before Christmas. It's at that point that they have maximum leverage over members of Congress who just want to go home and be with their families. And, you know, we're human beings, too. And when they say, do you want to spend Christmas with Hakeem Jeffries, or do you want to go home and open presents, you know?
Wow.
Then it's like, all right, I'll vote for anything. I'll vote for anything. Just let, you know, there's nothing as intoxicating and as persuasive to get somebody to vote for something here as the smell of jet fumes from DCA, the airport here nearby, during Christmas. Like, that is the best, I
wow.
mean, best, you know, intoxicant to get people to go yes, especially around Christmas. So that's what they're going to do. There was this little ploy for a while where they were going to attach the SAVE Act and excuse the reference. They were going to get conservatives half pregnant by getting you to vote for a CR with the SAVE Act. And then after you voted for that, which we did vote on that, it actually failed. But they were always going to strip the SAVE Act off of it and get you fully pregnant by October 1st.
Oh my gosh, this date. I wish that they would. I wish almost that the House would set up rules like we can't punt anything till right before Christmas. We're gonna just rob the left of that ability.
Bill, there was an effort to punt it into next year, so that if Trump won, you know, there would be no chance of the lame duck Congress doing something nefarious in December. But there's a provision in here. I'm still holding out hope. Last year, I got signed into law by Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. They signed this. This is hidden in the last debt limit increase, that if we do a continuing resolution that goes past April, everything gets cut 1%. So I'm secretly hoping that the continuing resolutions just keep going and they never do the omnibus bill, because if they do continuing resolutions past April 30th, we get a 1% cut automatically.
Ooh,
on everything.
I love how you hid that in there. Just it goes to show you, they don't read this. They don't read this stuff.
Listen, one of my friends told me that I was playing chess and these folks.
Oh, no, we got it froze. Oh, no. We're going to get him back. We're going to get him back. Yeah, he's playing chess, and he's going to say his friends are playing checkers. Are the opposition's playing checkers? We're going to bring Thomas Massey back, Congressman Massey here. Kind of had a little bit of a freeze. But, okay, we got it? We got a thumbs up? Yeah,
you got me back?
Yeah. Audio, but video.
We got audio. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. There we go. There we go, okay. Congressman.
All right. Am I back?
You're back.
Okay, you guessed part of the punchline, but you didn't guess the best punchline. All right, my friend said, I'm playing chess and they're playing checkers up here. And my late wife, Rhonda, said, no, they are chewing on the checkers and they are arguing with each other over which flavor is better, red or black flavor.
That actually is the most accurate thing that I think I've heard of when it comes to talking about this stuff with DC. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to have to steal that. We got to write that one down, Kane. Talking with Congressman Thomas Massey on this. He's got the constitutional carry bill talking about the stopgap, the tax-free on the no taxes on tips. This is the tax-free tips act. I just kind of think that maybe we should just remove the taxes on all the things and have you know, maybe it's a fair tax. I'm totally open for any kind of discussion on anything that replaces this current system. But I always think, why stop at tips, though? Because what about the cooks and all the people who don't get tips that still work in that in those service industries?
Right. In some of those service industries, the waiters share tips with people who are, you know, behind the counter. But you're right. We should go. I would go with a fair tax or a flat tax or just. Hell, get rid of all the taxes and replace it with a tariff like the country ran on for the first 150 years until the, what was it, the 16th Amendment that basically made it so that the government could tax us. You couldn't, there was, the income tax was unconstitutional until like 1913 when they passed the 16th Amendment. So I would repeal the whole 16th Amendment and we could, you know, figure out a size of government that could be funded with a fair tax or a flat tax. But in the interim, this is a start. And as my friend Tim Burchett, who's a co-sponsor of this, said, you know, he's not worried about all this money getting hid under the mattress. These people who are, you know, are put in a mason jar and buried in the backyard. These people who are working are oftentimes working paycheck to paycheck in the service industry. And they're going to inject that right back into the economy. And we would actually be better off letting them do that instead of sending it to the government, and then maybe one day they get their tax refund and get to spend it again. Just let them have it as it comes across. And it is a gift. It's a token of appreciation from, you know, from the patron to the person who's providing the service.
That is an excellent definition. Yes.
And it was, you know, it wasn't until we got credit cards that anybody was ever taxed on this stuff anyway. You know,
interesting. I just now realized that's absolutely accurate. Yes.
So in the meantime, just if I can't get this passed, by the way, it was Donald Trump's idea, but it was actually long ago Ron Paul's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they both have a great idea. I'm not going to argue over who was the genius behind it. I'm just the guy who ripped off both ideas and introduced the bill here in the House of Representatives.
We don't care. If it gets passed, we don't care who created it. We don't care who created it.
In the meantime, pay your tip in cash. And let the government guess.
I love that. Exactly. I love that cash economy. I love that. You know, just give it in cash because and people need to carry more cash. You know, I have to say, as a recovering germaphobe, I used to not carry around a lot of cash. And then the pandemic happened. And then I loved germs after that out of spite. And so now I'm like, I need dirty money. I need dirty cash. I just want to carry it around, have it. I'm not even going to wash my hands for I ate a sandwich. Now I'm all about it. Kane's dying. Now I'm all about it.
They're clipping this now.
Yeah, they are. They are. They're totally getting it. But I love that idea. I wanted to ask you one other quick thing. You mentioned the president as well. He had said something in a speech about capping credit card interest rates at like 10%. I always get nervous when government starts messing around with rates, interest rates, and gets restrictions and regulations with finance. I didn't know if you had any quick thoughts on that or if you had heard what he had said or if there's anything in the works in Congress.
There's nothing in the works. I get nervous too. Let the free market decide. I do believe there's enough competition in the credit card market, and you can have a bank card, and there's Venmo, and there are other things. So I think there's enough competition there In fact, the government kind of screws things up when they try to eliminate these payday lenders, because honestly, sometimes those are better deals than somebody going out on the street and getting their kneecap broke. And there's various degrees of loaning money. So I wouldn't cap that. Now, there is a similar issue that may need looked into, which is the store, when the vendor pays the credit card, yeah. There are only a couple digital systems that you can use. And in fact, they've used that bottleneck to try and infringe on our Second Amendment rights. So maybe we need to look at the bottleneck where the vendor can only use one or two different electronic systems to pay the credit cards.
That's a really good idea as well. And always, you always have great ideas. And Clinton, where's your pin at, by the way? Did it get too scary and you had to, oh my gosh, why did I ask? I was like, I don't see it. I don't get to get terrified.
Hold on. I'm working on another model with bigger.
It's bigger. Is that bigger?
Yes, it's bigger.
Oh my gosh.
This is the little one. Here's the bigger one. Now, it's a prototype, so it's off by a trillion. It doesn't calibrate with Treasury every day.
It's
like this
off
one does.
Only by a trillion. It's yeah. off. This is, I mean, we are getting into spooky season, so this fits. You know, that's the most terrifying thing I think I can see. That's
I want one.
Don't, because then I'd have to look at it every day, Kane. No.
I wore the little one around forever, and just it didn't get enough attention, although I did catch Congresswomen staring down here, and I had to tell them my eyes were up here.
Your debt clock is going to be so big, it's going to be like the Flava Flav hype necklace.
Well, this one's going to be a belt buckle.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Congressman Thomas Massey, always appreciates you seeing you, my friend. And again, our condolences. You're amazing, thanks. Wonderful wife. Sending love to your family. And I know the thanks, next time man. I see you, I'm sure that debt clock's going to be that big. It's going to be like a rodeo belt buckle. That's terrifying right. us all. There you go. Congressman, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. See you, Dana. Mm-hmm.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, gosh, everything is loading so slow today. Maybe this will load. Maybe it won't. Let's see. This is Fox 35 Orlando. And a Florida man, he gets pulled over for a traffic stop, right? And he has drugs on him. Cocaine, specifically. This was in Holiday, Florida. He tried to conceal the fact that he had a big old mound of cocaine by snorting all of it. Like hoovering it all up. 40-year-old Joel Craig Wallace was speeding on US 19. And this was on Tuesday of this week. He tried to hide the evidence. There was a brief pursuit, you know, because obviously the cops saw him speeding away and they pursued him. And he just drove all the way home. And before his arrest, he tried to snort all of it to try to hide it. And now he faces charges of fleeing, eluding, possession of cocaine, tampering with evidence. You know, when you look at the police file photo where it looks like he literally just his nose is all powdered white, it looks like he ate a powdered donut.
Right. They smelled it.
Yeah. How did he not OD? That's the thing. Like, oh my gosh, couldn't you OD like this? So anyway, he's totally in jail. You can't ever do that stuff and never just, golly, why would anybody try? But yeah, he definitely didn't look innocent there at all. Stick with us. Our third hour's on the way.
Answer. And that does make me hopeful, actually, that this Swift effect will speak to more women about the true character of Donald Trump and will turn them away. But to your initial point, I know you said we weren't going to talk about it, but I was. It just seems to me that since she is in an interracial marriage, she should have known that to support a racist is problematic. Her children are biraciral, and her family is one of the families in the 70s could not have lived in any of Donald Trump's buildings. So it just seems to me that maybe she's just not that politically savvy, or maybe she's just not read in.
Granted,
but it's
all we know is that she liked a Trump post. We don't know. She hasn't stated that she supported him, but that's fair to interpret.
Oh, my gosh. Nepo baby is all. Well, granted, what a horrible, ignorant thing to say. That's Sonny Hostin, by the way, who was going off on Brittany Mahomes for liking a couple of posts from Donald Trump. Was it on Instagram? Who does that too, by the way? Who sits there and combs through someone's likes to try to cause controversy? You know, it's not an endorsement. People are so stupid. But for Sonny Hostin, what a bitch. What an ignorant, racist, bigoted person to say something like that. How dare you? To sit here and castigate her and then call into question her commitment to her marriage and her role as a mother and to drag in her children because she liked some posts from someone you dislike politically. What is your mental damage, woman? You know, it's people like Sonny Hostin. Their ideology is a cancer on this earth. It is the AIDS of the earth. I am so tired of this. Who are you to sit here and go, well, you know, she's in an interracial marriage and she should have known better. What gatekeeper are you? That's a bitchy thing to say. And you know I'm right. That's horrible. I mean, can you imagine casting that kind of aspersion on someone's character because they liked a post from someone? Because she liked a post. So that gives you the right to call into her question her marriage, her job as a mother, everything else? What is wrong with you people? I'm so tired of this stuff. I get that people are so politically tribal that they feel like this sort of hatred is justified. And if that's what they have to tell themselves to help themselves sleep better at night, I don't know. It's a shame. That's a shame. I'm not wrong, Kane. Nope. Kane almost had a stroke. That's okay. But I'm not wrong. No. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. That made me mad because the Mahomes seem like nice people.
Yeah.
And they don't seem like they try to be. I don't know what their politics are. Are you a nice person? Yes or no?
And the fact that we don't know what their politics are is a great indicator.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Are you a nice person? Are you decent? Are you a nice person? Why should that be the answer to that be predicated upon? Okay, well, wait a minute. But did you like Trump's post? Who uses that as a litmus test? And then you got Nepo Baby sitting over there who's like, well, granted. Granted what? My gosh, this is why people who run media entities shouldn't automatically fast track their kids into positions where they share opinions, because not everybody is merited. Not every situation not merits that the opinion of that person. My heavens. It's shame on these people. That really made me mad because everything I've ever seen of the Mahomes, he seems real nice. She seems real nice. Their kids seem happy. You know, Taylor Swift goes to the shows and they hang out. But this is because they're mad that she's friends with Taylor Swift. And they feel like they have to police who Taylor Swift hangs out with. We talked about this because the left was saying, well, Taylor Swift needs to stop being friends with Brittany Mahomes because Brittany Mahomes likes some Trump posts. This is what, week two of this? Week two of these people losing their minds over this. Because Brittany Mahomes liked someone's post. You're going to be getting her husband saying some stuff. Good heavens. But they're policing Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift is influential and they are so desperate to influence people that they feel like they don't want it to look normal if Taylor Swift, who endorses Kamala Harris, if she's friendly with someone who is a Republican or they think is, actually nobody even knows what Brittany Mahomes is. Everybody's just assuming, you know. I've liked some tweets I've liked some tweets by John Fetterman before. Doesn't mean I endorse or would ever vote for John Fetterman if I lived in Pennsylvania.
There are Democrats that have actually endorsed Trump. So it's not like, you know what I mean? Just because you like something or even say something positive about someone doesn't mean you have, you know, you're endorsing them in any way.
Yeah. It's exactly it. It's not an endorsement. But they don't want it to look normal that Taylor Swift is friends with someone who might have diverse thought. That's what really this comes down to. They don't want that to look normal because they've got to keep everybody divided. They need Democrats to only hang with Democrats. They need their conservatives to stay with conservatives. Heaven forbid that there's any any sort of interpolitical mingling. Can't have that. Good heavens. Can't do that. That's bad. It's that just made me really mad because I can't stand when I see nice people be treated like that. It brings out the Ozark in me a little bit, you know. I'm wearing flip-flops right now. I may take one off. Yeah, I'm in the studio. I'm in my TV mullet today. You guys don't see it. Actually, I'm wearing a hat, so it's, you know, it's casual Friday. But I get upset when I see people who seem real nice treated real poorly like that, especially by these self-appointed gatekeepers. Like, who made you the gate? Who made this chick the gatekeeper of all of this? Who did that? Nobody. Good heavens. Someone said that watching grease pigs run around is more entertaining. I mean, I can't believe people watch this show. Who watches that show? Who watches The View? I say this as someone who's guest hosted it a couple times, but that was back when Barbara Walters was still alive and Jenny McCarthy was on, and she was one of the nicest people ever, by the way. She was so nice. And Whoopi Goldberg was not rude. She was nice as well. But I didn't meet, what's her face? The Joy lady, who's not joyful. She wasn't there that day. But my gosh, what happened to like that? What happened to them? Who watches that anymore? I can't think of anything that I would like less than, would you like to watch a television show of a bunch of women speaking? No. No. I would not, thank you. And no woman really, be honest. Like no women, all of you watching out there, no women that you know would either, right? Come on, let's be real about it. Let's be real. We got a couple of other things to touch on as well, because we've been hitting everything from the gun control stuff. We've been hitting a lot of it. We've got the debate coming up October 1st. And also, we've gotten into the North Carolina stuff as well. Speaking of North Carolina, that Sabato's crystal ball over Virginia, they've shifted that North Carolina race. Obviously, it's going towards Democrats. What is it doing to the whole race? It all comes down to electoral votes. And I wrote about it. I'm not going to get that much into it anymore. You can read about it over at Substack. Go and check it out there. That's up for North Carolinians to decide. I wanted to hit on this headline too, because it touches on what we had been saying. Did you see this? It's a poll that came out. RMG Research. It's a Rasmussen poll. 17% say America would have been better off if Trump had been killed. 3 in 10, Democrats. You know, we were just talking about the hyperbolic policing that, you know, with Sonny Hostin with The View. That's amazing to me. 3 in 10 Democrats. So you wonder why all of this stuff tends to only go one way. And good heavens, there's a big answer for you right there. They said 17% of voters, of these are Democrat voters, believe that America would have been better off if the former president had been killed in last week's attempted assassination. That includes 28% of Democrats who say that America would have been better off if he had been assassinated. 24% weren't sure. At least 48% could bring themselves to say that America would not be better off if the opposing party's candidate for president had been assassinated. This is where we're at in polling. This is how this went. So do you think that America would have been better off if the former president had been shot and killed or not? What are your thoughts? That's an actual question. And then do they get points, Kane, for answering honestly or not? I don't know. How do you, well, some, I, 24%, well, we're not sure. We're just not sure if the America would have been better off if he would have been killed. And 48% were like, well, it's actually bad if that would happen. Well, 48%, hallelujah. How in the world did we get here? How in the world did we get here? I mean, it's kind of rhetorical. That's just wild. But that's the new survey that they came out with. And when asked whether or not U.S. government agencies were involved in the latest, 37 said it was very or somewhat likely. Oh, my gosh. So the deep state. 54% suggested that Trump had used overheated, the quote, overheated language that might encourage some people to act violently. 35% blamed CNN or MSNBC. 33% suggested Harris incited it. So they're blaming the guy who got the attempted assassination attempt was against. They're blaming him for it. Okay. Now, they said that it was, now I will say the question that they focused on, the question that the way that they worded it was, quote, while it is always difficult to wish ill of another human being, would America be better off if Donald Trump had been killed last weekend? 69 did at least say no. Total.
You and your positive spins.
Well, but the rest are ridiculous.
Yeah, how many?
Well, yeah, there. 14% said, we're not sure. Golly. Oh, man. We're smod. Right. Those people deserve smod to get smodded. Sweet meteor of death did. That's right.
We deserve it.
Oh, my gosh. These are actual real things. We got more on the way. I'm not even. There's more. There's more to come. There's more to unpack.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I can't honestly believe this headline. Purple apples are going viral on social media and orchards are being inundated with requests. But there's a catch, because they don't exist. They're AI images of stupid purple apples. And people are like, all these horticulturalists and all of these orchards are like, stop asking us about these stupid purple apples. They don't exist. It's not a real thing. They've had all of these like photos on Instagram and TikTok and like one of them says, oh, look at these, you know, apples, it's purple applesauce. And they said that the purple apples originated in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan and they thrive in the chilly climate and they taste like cinnamon and banana. It's, and literally, here's the name of the account. It's Unnaturalist AI. Okay. Well, everybody's been asking about purple apples now. And so it blew up everywhere. And people literally have been going to just showing up randomly at Saskatchewan orchards going, where's your purple apples? I'm not even kidding. And so now they're like, stop it. They're not real. There isn't a thing like this. There's no such thing as this. It's fake. It's all fake. Oh my God. I can't. The five most rat-infested cities in America have been revealed, and they're all Democrat-run. Yeah, the Big Apple is the most rodent-riddled. It's Terminix's list of 50 most rodent-infested cities. And they're like the ugly rats, not like little cute field mice, like little field mice. They're the ugly rats. They're the rats, all right? But they said that it's California actually leads the nation for rodent pest control searches, but they said that Los Angeles is third, Philly and DC are in the top five. The second was San Francisco, and that's New York is on top. Of course it is. This is insane. A man with this makes me feel like this is me now. I will look at someone's health mallet and I will immediately say I have that. I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. A man, 20 years old, with a constant runny nose, found his brain was poking out and leaking. What? His brain literally was bulging through a hole in his skull.
Is that what
WebMD
told him?
Is that why my nose is runny? Is my brain poking out of a skull hole? Yeah. He thought it was a cold symptom. It was cerebrospinal fluid. His brain and spinal fluid. He was in a car accident years prior, though, and he had a head injury, and he refused treatment at the time. And then he got some moderate headaches and seizures, but no big deal. And then, okay, so maybe it's not me. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just this guy. Good night. Let's see. Animal remnants were spread across I-635, and they shut down three lanes of traffic in North Texas. Oh, this is nasty. Gator heads and guts and all kinds of stuff. It was alligator and chicken remnants. TxDOT handled it. Chicken and gator remnants on multiple lanes. Stick with us. We got more in store. Yay!
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So we're grateful that Jill is here today. Heard that clapping. It wasn't for me. When we came in. Here across previous administration, first ladies have attended these meetings for specific reasons. This is the first time Jill has joined us, and it goes to show how important the issue is, which she's about to speak to the both of us. Today, at the top of our meeting, Jill's going to give an update on the House initiative, White House initiative, to fundamentally change the approach and the fund, and how we approach and fund women's health services. So I'd like to turn it over to Jill and for any comments she has. And it's all yours, kid.
Kid?
You know, what? That's kind of weird. Why is she at the head of the table? That's so weird. They held their, this is the first cabinet meeting that they've had in 11 months. Not like anything's been happening. You know. Their first cabinet meeting in 11 months, and Jill Biden was at the head of the table. Why? No one elected her. Why is she there? And sitting at the head of it. That's weird, right? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. It was just today. Just a little bit ago. So they had their first cabinet meeting in 11 months. And he goes, I'd like to turn it over to her for any, Jill, for any kind of comments that she has. What? She has zero reason to be there at all whatsoever. None. 11 months? 11 months. Kane, it's almost like there's some stuff going on that maybe they could have discussed.
You think? Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had a cabinet meeting in 11 months, but let's go ahead and turn it over to Jill.
And I've participated in voting in, gosh, past 10, 20 years probably. Never seen her name on the ballot anywhere. So why is anyone handing anything over to her?
He sounds totally out of it too, doesn't he? He sounds like he works as much as you do, which we know he doesn't, as you all out there. And we all know, again, that he doesn't.
It's what lame duck sounds like.
Isn't she? There were stories that she was signing her name on legislation, too.
What?
Or that there was, like, her name was on letterhead. I'm going to look at my notes. Something to that effect. I've seen, like, pictures. Yeah, she's got, apparently, his honorary legislation folders have her signature on them. And that's, I've seen enough people sharing this, enough different images, that it's a real thing. Because, like, apparently several people have been sharing it. It's not all just the same image. I'm just curious as to why she has, it's on honorary folders for, like, honorary legislation. I don't know why her name is on it. Am I missing something? Is that typical? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. So, I who's running the country, though? She's leading a cabinet meeting. Her name was on, under the seal. It said the President of the United States seal, and it had Joe's name on it, underneath it. And then her name was underneath that. And I don't know. Just, got a lot of questions. Who's running things? Well, I think his stuff has been so poorly ran, I think it's safe to say that it's her. I mean, what were we talking about on break, right after we went to break? Because you were saying that, well, she can't handle anything. Why is she handling this? And then, they couldn't handle their dogs. They couldn't handle their kids. Literally everyone around them's on cocaine. So,
right. I mean, I was saying that she was the babysitter of the two, of Hunter and Ashley, right? So
Ashley's hers.
I mean, essentially the babysitter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Things
to consider, that's all.
I've got some questions. I got some questions over this. Also, we had this story. Okay, so can we talk about the RFK thing? So this chick who was writing at New York Magazine, this Olivia Newsy, she was placed on leave because she admitted to having an emotional affair or what's improper something with RFK Jr. And it was bad enough that her fiance ended their engagement and they put her on leave while they investigated. And she said it wasn't physical, but she confirmed that it was inappropriate. And there was it's like the number one story over at Daily Mail now. And it talks about his wife, Cheryl Hines. Their 10-year marriage has reached a breaking point because he's a lifelong philanderer and all of this other stuff. And this is what I kind of go back to. Didn't she start as the other woman, Cheryl Hines? Pretty sure she did. So I don't really feel bad for her. When you're the other woman and then you get replaced by a new side piece, I don't feel bad for you. But Kane didn't know what an emotional affair was because I'd said, well, okay, well, she's clearly, you know, then it sounds like what she's describing is an emotional affair, which is still infidelity, regardless if it's physical or not. It's infidelity. I take that view. So if you start having a relationship with someone where you're confiding in them and they're taking as much presence in your life as your partner or more so, you're having an emotional affair. When you're prioritizing them, when you're thinking about them and you're rushing to tell them stuff and you're taking things in your relationship, outside of your relationship and talking to them about, that's an emotional affair. Everybody knows what it is. People would know if you're turning outside of your relationship, regardless of whether or not it's physical, that's what it's getting into.
Gotcha.
It's different from confiding in a friend. There's friends and then there's people who are, you're like getting a little bit inappropriate with somebody, right? There's a line that I think everybody kind of has a gut instinct, right? And apparently that's what this was.
Yeah, my question I think was, so you described it well. I just didn't know what, because it's framed like it's an affair. So whenever you think of an affair, you think of you've physically mm-hmm. cheated on someone. And then emotional affair just seemed like, wait, that's just weird to me.
Well, think about it, how you hear the phrase, and from what I understand, a lot of women hate the phrase work wife. Like if their husbands are like, oh, this is my work wife.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been a lot of stories where and I think it goes with both sexes, where it's either the husband or the wife will start, whether it's at work or anywhere else, they will start, you know, confiding in this person as much as their wife. They're spending a lot of time with them. They're getting emotionally intimate with them. That's an emotional affair. People aren't, you know, it's not like, hi, how are you? Oh, is that an emotional affair? That's not what that is.
So did someone accuse her of this?
She said it.
So she just
came
out.
She was the one who said she had an improper relationship and that she did not get any report on anything from it or get any scoops from it or anything like that. But she was the one who said it. Now she's on leave and her fiance, who is a writer, I think at Washington Post somewhere, dumped her. Ended their engagement because she was engaged. So I don't know. She said that it did not get physical, but it was inappropriate. And can I just say, I'm not surprised about that with him because he cheated on his first wife, hung herself. He paraded around his mistress in front of his friend. That's why I wrote about this eons ago. I'm like, before y'all start lionizing this guy, because he agreed with you on one thing. I mean, he agreed with you on vaccines, specifically the coronavirus vaccine. That doesn't mean like, you know, why is everybody like rushing to put him in charge of the war council? Stop it. But he like paraded around Cheryl Hines in front of his like now dead wife. That was a horrific story. I remember reading about that in Daily Mail when it happened. She was miserable. I mean, he was like, the reports were that he treated her very callously and coldly. And from what I understand, like his current wife was like the side piece and knew about it.
All right,
I don't feel bad for side pieces who become the wives and then are relegated by the new side piece.
Let me ask this, and this may be devil's advocate sort of stuff, but mm-hmm. can in this situation where the woman states that she was having an emotional affair and all that, is it possible for RFK Jr. to not know that that's going on?
I don't think so.
Because you don't think so? So you think she
There's, I mean, to have an emotional affair
that
is,
would mean
intimates that,
she,
it is a consensual thing that both sides are engaging in. Having a crush or an obsession with someone is a one-sided thing, and that's not what this sounds like.
So what if he comes out and says, I have no idea what she's talking about, this emotional.
Well, he didn't say
thing.
That. He was just like, I only met her in person one time, and it resulted in a hit piece. Right, that's so, all he said. But he didn't say that none, but it was an interesting statement because he never said that none of this is true. He never said that she was mischaracterizing it. He never said that he hadn't been in contact repeatedly with her. He never said any of that.
Yeah, he never said he was. If he met her once, are you saying that that might be false, that he met her more than once?
I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily believe him on a lot of stuff, considering his track record with fidelity.
Yeah.
Not really into saying that I take the guy's word for something. I mean, I don't care about any of this except for the fact that it's the press. It's members of the press that are involved, and that's why I find it entertaining. Because, and I think that's why you all should enjoy it as well, because these people are, they enjoy your lives, so why shouldn't you enjoy a bit of news on theirs? That's all I'm saying. But, you know, it's just, don't be whores. It's real simple. Real simple.
Is that what emotional affairs are?
Yeah.
Whores?
Yeah.
Whores?
I think that if you are outside of the bounds of your relationship, yep, I do. Oh, I'm, okay. Oh, guys, I'm old school.
But I mean,
like,
if it's
this
true,
should not be a news flash to people.
I'm just literally... This yeah. effort you're hearing in real time is me trying to wrap my brain around this whole yep. concept. If he's unaware of it.
Oh, my gosh. Why? Oh, shut up. He's not unaware of it.
No, I'm
just, he's all of his friends and Cheryl Hines' friends were warning her. He's a serial philanderer.
I'm speculating. Look.
Oh, my gosh. Bless your baby heart.
When you have a candidate who is attempting to be on the top of the ticket for the Independent Party. And you got a guy that just recently threw his weight behind Trump.
I see
Trump.
Where you're going with this.
I see the effort as everyone who's tied to Trump in some way, the media, whether it be nefariously or
you think
side-handed,
that she's a star blinker.
I think that it's possible that that's the case.
I'm not saying that there's probably not an element of that in there, but yeah. What I am saying is that this is not like some... I mean, she's a middle-aged woman who has been around politicians and has interviewed famous people and has been around people running for office.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff is not going to, like, throw her. That's why I'm saying that this is, if anybody knows her background, I mean, she's done this for a long time. So, you know.
So how much of it is RFK Jr.? How much of it is her?
I mean, let's look at his track record with the ladies here, which I don't get it.
That's an interesting start where your perspective is, because you start where, let's see where he's at, instead of investigate the fact that she could be saying all this without his knowledge and he not know that it's living.
They literally responded to it already.
But
he
has no idea that it's been living for her like that. Until she actually,
I will say this, of what I know of her,
it out in
she
public.
Would not say something like that if there were not texts and stuff.
Oh, you know her that well? That's
I've
you
talked
believe.
To her before, yeah.
Yeah, so you know her not well enough that she just wouldn't do
I got
anything
a,
like
I
that.
Got a pretty, I get a pretty good read on
she
people's character.
In the media,
and you know
put the cart
too.
Before the horse.
You
she
know that, too.
She wouldn't possibly do that.
Why are you so quick to discount her, though?
I'm not quick to discount.
Believe all women came.
I am slow to confirm. I'm slow to actually
oh,
just...
Oh, when it's the press, I'm not... Oh, no, they're guilty.
It's not the
She's
press.
She's in trouble.
The negative focus is not on the press here. The negative focus is on RFK Jr.
No, no one cares that it's him because that's his character.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen a single bit of criticism about it. They're like, yeah, he fooled around on his first wife.
Here we have a woman
a
who
piece.
Could single-handedly,
right.
just by herself, be thinking that this emotional affair is happening. And here you are bashing RFK Jr.
I'm not bashing.
Sort of
I'm just
history.
Saying the guy, has he not cheated on his wife before? Is he not considered a serial philanderer,
yes,
even by his own friends? Yes
but tell
no?
me how that
yes or no? It's
somehow
so
plays into
that
her
kind of is an indication of your
affair.
Character in dealing with future similar scenarios, is it not?
Yeah. And,
okay.
And guess what? He
all right,
was also,
that's all I'm saying.
But he was
that's
also.
All I'm saying. That's oh, all I'm saying. God, thank you, sir, for playing. We appreciate it. Make sure to tip your server
stellar,
staff on the way out.
Stellar argument style.
I'm just saying that someone's record of behavior in one instance, that actually many yeah. instances,
and by
is
law,
a sign
doesn't
of how they're
going to
behave in another exact same situation.
Indicate.
That's all I'm saying.
That's how it would
but
be.
But it's
in
a
the
law
future.
Of averages, is it not, Kane?
Is it? Is that what it is?
Is it?
A law.
Ah! You know,
of averages.
Right, you know, right. But no,
law?
We talked emotional affairs. That's what it sounded
breaking
like.
Breaking the law of averages.
And they put her on, apparently there was enough there that they like iced her out. I mean, she's like on leave right now.
Steve's yelling at us. We got to go.
Oh, is he in Slack yelling at us?
Yes, he is.
Are you in Slack yelling at us? He's going, let's move. No, but Steve, we want to argue about this more.
We should, but we don't have time.
Oh, for crying out loud. It's okay. I'm right. I'd agree with you, but we'd both be wrong.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, for me and for us, I think it's fair to say we are so grateful that at this stage of our life, we have our grandchildren, we have our time together. You know, I write about how we start the morning playing spelling bee in bed. And, you know, Bill is like such a great player. He gets to queen bee almost immediately, it feels.
No one wants to hear about anything that they do in bed at all whatsoever. I could go my whole life and not hear about any of that. Good grief. Welcome back. Yeah, it's Hillary Clinton. She's the woman that all those racist people didn't vote for. All you white racist people, you should have voted for her in 2016 because you're racist, because you didn't. I mean, at least that's what she said this week in a different interview. Why is she doing all this press this week?
That is interesting.
Yeah. Oh, she had a book out?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, I see, because this is, I can't pay attention to her. I can't. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, Juan, this is going to be cut 23. This is Dr. Lindsay Doe. She's talking about pedophilia as just a regular sexual orientation, guys. It's what it is. It's normal. Listen.
.org. It's short for virtuous pedophiles. Not virtuous as in they're better than everyone because they're attracted to children, but virtuous like having moral standards and a sexual orientation that they have no control over, good like Lord. The rest of us.
Before you get all worked up.
Is she like tweaking?
Oh, there it was.
Is that groomer pedophile, like that pederast apologist? Is she like on meth?
It's evil and
stupid. If I saw her like in a dark alley at night, I'd throw something at it. Her, whatever. Oh, folks, that does it for us this week. God help us all. Have a wonderful weekend. Rest. I will be back with you Monday. We'll get you going for the week.